Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a terrific, terrific Tuesday. Well, it is a pleasure to welcome into Press Row Wright Thompson, the ESPN senior writer. Big day for Wright because his latest book is being released today. Pappyland, A Story of Family, Fine Bourbon, and the Things That Last. Wright, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
Man, I'm doing great. It's good to be talking to you.
Well, and we're going to get to the book in just a sec, but I am curious about your background because you were born and raised in northern Mississippi, right? And you live in Oxford now. You went to Missouri. Of course, you went before they joined the SEC. And I know you covered LSU for a while. You covered the LSU football beat. So you've just kind of morphed into this SEC guy through the years, haven't you?
Well, it's interesting. And, it's interesting to be talking to you in Chattanooga. I mean, I spent many, many a summer at Alpine Camp for Boys in Mentone, Alabama, just right across the border from you in Lookout Mountain.
Right.
So I remember when the coolest thing in the world you could have was a corduroy hat from Rock Creek Outfitters. they were like the three guys who had them who were like counselors at camp, and they were the coolest guys ever. It's a real pleasure to be getting my Tennessee Mountain on.
Well, and of course, how much did you enjoy covering the SEC during the days that you did?
Look, I mean, I covered Nick Saban at LSU, I've seen some cool stuff, seen some big games, so I love that. I mean, now I'm mostly out of it, which is good, so I just get to be a fan and show up and eat some fried chicken on game day.
And, of course, the other thing you've done is not only are you distinguished as a writer, but you've lent your voice to a lot of ESPN projects like the Roll Tide War Eagle. I mean, you narrated that. What is kind of the you obviously have a passion for writing. How did the narrating get into your world, and what kind of challenge is that by comparison?
I think it was years of camels. It's just the gravel. It's always been there. So we have to give that one up to God and my parents and Philip Morris. I just fell into that. So that's been super fun. I don't ever get recognized like my face in an airport, but all the time, if I am ordering something at or I'm talking to the woman at the bookstore or buying a magazine, somebody will be like, "Hey, are you that?" That's pretty funny. Like, my face doesn't get recognized, but the voice does.
That is awesome. All right, now, and of course, in your writings, you've tackled everything from Michael Jordan to the COVID's impact on Italian soccer. And like I mentioned, you've got this book today that is out, Pappyland, A Story of Family, Fine Bourbon, and the Things That Last, that's focused on Pappy Van Winkle, the most sought-after Kentucky bourbon whiskey in the world. I was reading where a bottle is typically more than $3,000. What infatuated you with this project?
Well, I met Julian Van Winkle, who is the grandson of Pappy, who runs the company, and we just really hit it off. And I liked traveling around the country with him, going up and seeing him in Kentucky. And so I didn't really know what shape or form the book would take, but I was like, well, there's something really interesting here about craftsmanship and about, we talked a lot about his relationship with his father and my relationship with my father. So we just had these really interesting conversations that I thought spoke to me as a father and spoke to me as a Southerner and as an American. And so the book was born, and it's a weird hybrid of the story of the Pappy Van Winkle and a story of the 4 years I spent running around the country with Julian. So it's part biography, part history, and part travelogue. And we drink a lot of really expensive whiskey, so that's fun.
You're listening to Wright Thompson, the ESPN senior writer here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Wright, it sounds like an amazing book, and from a Southerner who
likes really bad whiskey to really good whiskey, and I've never had a $3,000 bottle of it. But I'm curious if you could go back and tell the LSU beat writer, Wright Thompson, that this is where his life would end, what would you have told yourself 17 years ago?
Don't worry so much about what a jerk Nick Saban is.
Okay. go ahead.
Just chill. One day you're going to get a whole bunch of really nice whiskey. I don't know. I mean, you know this. There's a reason that we're young once. It's because if I knew now what it was going to take, I'm not sure I'd be willing to work that hard again, you know?
Right. No, that's very well said, especially in an industry that pays you a whole lot of checks that are only cashed in fun. What is next for you then? I mean, if this is like a 4-hour travel log drinking whiskey, I mean, it sounds like it's part Hemingway, part Jim Beam, and part Anthony Bourdain. I mean, I don't know what's next for you.
I don't know, man. How about a vacation?
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to be first in line to get that vaccine. Like, I'm going somewhere, you know? I'm going somewhere without a mask. Like, I'm looking forward to it. Because I've been real careful. I mean, I had a wife who was pregnant. We had our second child 4 days ago. And so through all of this, you know, my mom has to be really careful with her with not getting it. Plus, I had a pregnant wife. And so I've just been stressed to the max during all this because no one really knows. I wasn't worried about getting it myself so much as if I gave it to my mother,
right.
I would never be able to live with myself. And so I'm ready to get out on the road, man.
If you've also had a whole lot of success both with True South on the SEC network and the podcast Bloodlines, if I asked you, if we all admitted that the Mannings are the first family of Bloodlines of the SEC, who's second?
Well, I mean, that's interesting. Who's the family? Who are all those punters? The Colquitts?
Yeah, the Colquitts. I mean, if Derek could have won, like, even half his games, you could say the Dooleys.
I know, but, I mean, we can't do that.
No.
And
the Colquitts.
No, the punters have it figured out.
Like, yes.
You know, like, someone was like, you know what? I could just buy a boat, and if I teach my kids how to punt, I won't ever have to pay for college. It's genius.
No, it is a great, great plan. As a proud Southerner, are you looking forward to the Masters in November? Are you what is your level of excitement or appreciation or even just trepidation for this week?
It's funny you asked that. I mean, I've thought about that a lot. I was really trepidatious about college football because I was just like, this is just going to be depressing, you know?
No, I agree.
I'm excited about the Masters. Like, I don't want it to be quiet every year, but I think it's going to be weird and cool. And I actually think on Sunday, the quiet is going to take an already tense thing and just jack up the tension tenfold. So, I mean, I think coming down the stretch of a dead quiet Augusta National on Sunday has got to be the most nerve-wracking thing in the world for a golfer. So I'm actually excited to see it.
You're listening to Wright Thompson, the ESPN senior writer, whose latest book, Pappy Land, A Story of Family, Fine Bourbon, and the Things That Last, is being released today. You're listening to Wright here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Wright, did you ever in all your career, when you're doing these things and having a lot of success, and then all of a sudden you wind up talking to the late Harvey Updike? How was that?
Dude. So I met Harvey at one of the hearings, and a couple of weeks later I get a phone call from his lawyer in Alabama, and he was like, Harvey wants to meet with you. And I'm like, why? And they were like, you were the only one who was nice to him in the courtroom. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I was like, yeah, I'll meet him. Where does he want to meet? And he goes, well, he wants to meet you at Middendorf's in Manshack, Louisiana. You know, that old catfish place down there, like when you're exit 15 off of I-55.
Right.
Really good. It's where my grandparents ate their first meal on their honeymoon. They were driving from Yazoo City to New Orleans. Anyway, so I went and met him. It's funny because you want to make fun of Harvey, obviously, you know, but like Harvey had some real mental issues. And when you met him, those became really apparent. You know, he was an excellent, excellent state trooper and just got off his bed, you know? And so it became harder to laugh at once you'd actually seen the thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, I kept in touch with him a little. He was sending emails asking to get tickets to when Alabama was playing Ole Miss. I'm like, Harvey, I'm not going to be responsible for you killing the Grove.
You'd be aiding and abetting at that point, wouldn't you?
Yeah, like, I was like, Harvey, I mean, I got to live here, man. But I wrote his son a note when Harvey died, because Harvey was a troubled, really troubled, basically sweet guy. And, you know, it's easier if you haven't met the people, because then you can just make the Harvey Updike jokes, which are hilarious, you know. But, you know, I spent a bunch of time with Harvey, and he was a troubled guy.
All right, we have Scott Rabelais of the Baton Rouge Advocate. I've known him for 20 years, and we have him on all the time to talk LSU. But do you have a go-to Nick Saban story from your era covering him?
I got a go-to Scott Rabelais story.
I bet. we'll ease off on him because he's down in the dumps because he can't get to go to the Masters this week.
Well, I'll tell you this. Skip Bertman, who was the longtime AD.
Right.
This is a story I was always told, is that he went and gave, like, the speech at the annual, like, press workers, like, awards luncheon at the Baton Rouge Advocate. And he stood up there and allegedly said, it's just so nice for me to be getting a meal from the Advocate, because I got to tell you, Rabelais and Dubois are eating us out of house at home.
Ouch.
So, man, like, that was the beat when I covered it. I was like, how am I supposed to break stories in Louisiana when the three people on the beat I'm competing with, their last names are Gilbo, Rabelais, and Dubois? I'm like, I have no shot.
Yeah, but your first name's right.
No, yeah, but, like, let me just tell you, who do you think is going to get the leak? Right, Thompson, the old Miss fan, or Rabelais, Dubois, and Gilbo?
Yep.
Like, yeah.
All right, what's your go-to Saban, or maybe it was an outburst, or what do you remember most from that time?
Actually, my go-to Saban story is I was really close with Sue Gunner, who was the basketball coach.
Right.
And so she was recruiting Simone Augustus, who was the number one ranked high school basketball player in the country. Everyone wanted her. It was down to LSU and Tennessee, and she was from Baton Rouge. And so the family had asked Sue, when do we get to meet Nick Saban? And she's like, oh, my God. Because, you know, the other coaches didn't like Nick at all because he got everything he wanted. And I'm sure there was a lot of jealousy. And so she's now got to go to Nick and be like, the family wants to meet you. And Nick, who is the world's greatest recruiter, was like, all right, well, here's the deal. We'll get you a suite at the spring game, but I would like you to give me a little packet on everybody who's going to be with him and some information. And so she did that, and then he went around to his coaches and handed these packets out and said, this is Simone Augustus. She is the best basketball player in the country. This is everyone who's with her. If you see her or any of these people, you stop what you're doing and you go over there and you tell them that you're so looking forward for their family to be part of the LSU family. And, like, the attention to detail on that, and, like, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He was recruiting hard for someone else, and not to, like, just because that's, like, he didn't know another way to do it. He's like, well, if we're going to invite them, we better do it right. And, like, that's the story that really stuck with me.
All right, right. You're obviously a fantastic storyteller, but when we have great guests like you, we love to close with just a rapid fire, which puts you in a spot where you just got to go with first thing off the top of the head. You ready?
Let's have them. I love them. Let's have it.
All right. You went to Mizzou. You live in Oxford. Who do you pull for when Mizzou?
Ole Miss.
Okay.
Your game day bourbon of choice?
Old Charter.
The best SEC football game you've ever witnessed?
LSU-Alabama at LSU when LSU won and they were ranked 1 and 2.
Your favorite hole at Augusta?
Oh, 16.
Give me your top three SEC football cathedrals.
1, Tiger Stadium. 2, Bryant-Denny. 3. 3 is really a tie. I mean, probably the Swamp.
Okay.
But it could be Neyland.
If James Earl Jones is the Michael Jordan of voiceovers, who's better between Sam Elliott and Morgan Freeman?
Morgan Freeman.
Listen, Wright, fantastic stuff. This was thoroughly enjoyable. Congratulations on another book release and best wishes for a lot of success to Pappy Land, A Story of Family, Fine Bourbon, and The Things That Last. Thank you so much for joining us here today in Chattanooga.
Thanks, guys. This was a blast.
All right. Wright Thompson, the ESPN senior writer, joining us. 648-1051 is the number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.